We're going to start with a little exercise. I'm going to ask this side of the room to yell three times as loud as you can, "What's wrong?" Ready? One, two, three.
What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?
I'm going to ask this side of the room to yell as loud as you can, "What's possible?" Three times, "What's possible?" Ready?
What's possible? What's possible? What's possible?
Now switch. You say "what's wrong" three times.
What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's possible? What's possible? What's possible?
All together now. Both sides, "what's wrong" and "what's possible" at the same time.
What's possible? What's possible? What's possible?
I don't know what's wrong, but I know what's possible. How did that feel?
Didn't solve anything.
Didn't solve anything. I chose to say what's possible. Then I got to choose whether what's wrong or what's possible.
Okay. How did it feel for other folks?
Feels good to shout.
Feels good to shout, doesn't it? No matter what. Amen.
I didn't like saying what's wrong.
Oh, didn't like saying what's wrong.
It's all about how you look at it.
How you look at it.
Felt good to say what's possible.
Yes, felt good to say what's possible, didn't it?
I like saying what's wrong because how do you solve a problem if you can't name the problem, if you can't admit there's a problem?
How can you solve a problem if you don't admit what's wrong? Thank you. Let's hold that. Let's hold that as we listen to these words. I've been thinking about possibilities, and this month of January was dedicated to exploring possibilities. And I've also been thinking about things that seem to be obstacles to the dream, right? Things that get in our way like a tangled web. Things that might seem small, but when we're all interconnected and part of the web, we all feel it, right? We feel both what's wrong and what's possible. It means that we are in a shared community where we communicate both what we see needs help and what we dream about that can be possible, and we can share that, right? I've been thinking about our community. I've been thinking about the launching of our Canvas campaign, of being in a new year, and thinking about a survey that went out last year at some point asking people, what are your dreams for this community? And we had an overwhelming response from people who said, we want to grow. We want to grow in numbers, we want to grow in diversity, we want to grow in programs, we want financial stability to create new programs, we want to see more people, more families, more children walking through that door. We want to have a children's garden. And the list went on about how many dreams there are here to share and to work on. Some of those dreams have already become a reality with the help of wonderful volunteers like Walt and the RE program. We have a children's garden that's already bearing fruit, wonderful lemons and kale and other stuff to nourish not just our bellies. But this notion that we can grow if that is our dream, the notion that we are committed and we make things possible. Possibility is the stuff that really defines Unitarian Universalism. We come from a long line of dreamers, people who were labeled heretics, people who dared to voice what was wrong while creating new possibilities, new ways of being, questioning existing systems, people bold enough to express their dissatisfaction with injustice and the status quo, people with the courage to voice their dissent, brave enough to take the risk of demanding change, committing themselves to affirming our inherent capacity for goodness and our right to freedom. People like us. We are the people who dare to dream big, to think outside the box, to bring to life new ideas, to be willing to work hard, to sacrifice and be open to the mystery, because we believe that revelation is not sealed and that we are part of the ever-evolving wisdom and wonder of the spirit of life. Our denomination has a proud history of being bold and courageous. Our deeply rooted liberal faith, some people date back before Christianity. Some pinpoint 1531 as the year when Miguel Servet, a Spanish physician and theologian, published his work called On the Errors of the Trinity, attacking and challenging orthodox teachings and attempting to form a view of his own, asserting that the world is eternal, that a mode of God's self-expression is ever evolving, ever creating, that the Spirit of God is in motion in the power that is within our hearts, in the hearts of all people. He also discovered the pulmonary circulation of blood. He was a scientist. He was dedicated to logic and experiments and trying things out. And he kind of transposed and transferred those skills to his theological way of thinking and being in the world, in seeing innumerable possibilities. He argued against the Nicene Creed, and he felt he could restore the church by separating it from the state, by using only those theological formulations that preceded the Constantinian Fathers. In addition to his books, he sent numerous letters to Calvin, who responded by ordering the inquisitor to seize Servet's printers, to arrest them, and to be tried with heresy. He was burned alive in 1553, and we count him as one of our first martyrs. This is not to say that when you raise your voice to denounce what is wrong, you will be punished. This is to illustrate how we have evolved over time, how we honor a tradition of voicing what is wrong in coming up with possibilities and sharing that possibility with others. It is to illustrate that sometimes we do have to take risks, and yet we are not alone. And that is the value of being in community, right? Searching for the truth, speaking the truth in love, helping one another on that journey that is ever evolving. Olympia Brown is another example of resiliency, resistance, and how she saw possibility when all doors were closing, when she had to face rejection after rejection. She is regarded as the first woman to graduate from a theological school, as well as the first full-time female ordained minister. Brown was also one of the few first-generation suffragists who were able to vote with the passage of the 19th Amendment. Once Olympia Brown finished her schooling, she decided her calling was to be a minister. After countless rejections, she was accepted to the Theological School of St. Lawrence University. But once again, when she finished, Brown faced opposition from many sides. This included fellow students and the wives of the faculty. Brown took it all as a challenge, as a search for yet another possibility. After her first year, Brown had gained acceptance and finished her schooling. But she still faced another struggle. Even after graduating, even after having a year of preaching experience with congregations in Vermont, Brown still met opposition to be ordained. She believed that to be ordained, she needed to appeal to the Universalist Council, and she did. She traveled to New York to present her case. Her plea simply was equality. And she won. They believed her. They had seen her. They had heard her preach, and they agreed with her. So she was then ordained as the first woman minister. She went on to pastor in churches in Massachusetts, in Connecticut, and in Wisconsin. Sophia Blanche Lyons Foss. She is our guide in our religious exploration program. She was a pioneer educator with a pedagogical philosophy that said that children need to explore nature, need to question the world, need to be around experiences that allow them, that invite them to explore their own spiritual landscapes, that each child should develop their own ideas about religion and spirituality. And the list is long. Louisa May Alcott, John Quincy Adams, Dorothea Dix, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Mary Wollstonecraft, Pete Seeger, and so on. The story of Unitarian Universalism, our story, is a story of people taking risks, defying what is possible, raising their voices and daring to question authority, going against the current, resisting, fighting for human rights and religious freedom. Early Unitarians questioned biblical dogma, challenged religious orthodoxy, embraced science and reason, and imagined a world where people could choose to believe according to their own spiritual needs. They imagined a different Christianity, a different religious faith. They valued tolerance and found wisdom in world religions and humanist teachings. They opened their minds and hearts to an image of the divine that was loving and merciful, not counting our faults in order to punish us and sentence us to eternal damnation. Our Unitarian Universalist ancestors imagined a world of possibilities and created a new religion with a doctrine of universal salvation. This faith celebrates nature and finds in nature a deep spirituality connecting us to Mother Earth. Our faith encourages us to seek, to be inspired by and celebrate other religious and spiritual traditions. Our liberal religion gives us the courage to let go of old forms and old ways of doing things while treasuring a tradition of courage and possibility making. So here, in this space, in this community, we gather together to create a spiritual home, to open up the space for healing, for resistance, for renewal, for reconciliation, for transformation. We care deeply about those living on the margins of society. We are a sanctuary and a spiritual home for those being oppressed by poverty, homophobia, racism, xenophobia, both within and beyond our walls. And we continue to refuse to accept injustice, because just like our UU ancestors, we believe that another world is possible, a kinder world, a more just world, a more loving world. We have not survived so far by playing it safe. We have embraced risk and possibilities. We have chosen to be a source of light and love in the face of oppression and of hatred. We have been blessed with the opportunity to offer this, our church community, as an alternative to hatred and rejection, as a refuge for all. And once again, we are being invited to step forward, to be bold and to dream big, to recommit to living into the possibilities that this community offers, or as Sister Simone Campbell says, to walk towards trouble. I invite you to walk into trouble, to walk in the wilderness, as Brené Brown calls it. She writes, "Belonging is the innate human desire to be part of something larger than us. Because this yearning is so primal, we often try to acquiesce and to acquire it by fitting in and seeking approval, which are not only hollow substitutes for belonging, but often barriers to it. Belonging only happens when we present our authentic, imperfect selves to the world. Our sense of belonging can never be greater than our level of self-acceptance. Being ourselves means sometimes having to find the courage to stand alone, totally alone, just like our UU ancestors did. So, belonging is something that we carry in our hearts, and when you're part of a community, you develop your own sense of self, but you're also part of a shared journey. Belonging means braving that wilderness that may take the shape of uncertainty, vulnerability, and criticism. And with the world feeling like a political and ideological combat zone right now, this is remarkably tough. We seem to have forgotten that even when we are utterly alone, we are connected to one another by something greater than group membership, politics, ideology. We are connected by love and the human spirit. So the wilderness turns out to be a place of true belonging, and it is the bravest place. It is the most sacred place you'll ever stand in. It's about living from our hearts rather than from our fears and pain. It's about stepping into the unknown, seeing the vast desert out there, and being able to visualize possibilities, as Dr. King did, for justice to roll down like waters and peace like an ever-flowing stream in the desert. So one of the skills that we need in order to brave this wilderness, to be bold, to create the beloved community, is trust. Trust is defined as choosing to risk making something you value vulnerable to another person. Choosing to risk making something you value, you treasure, vulnerable. We are a spiritual community sharing a collective experience, social connection, offering possibilities for being part of something greater than ourselves, and in the process, shifting our focus from the I to the we, from the self to the group. And because we are a covenantal community, we are more than a group of people looking for a hobby or a distraction or an affinity group to share hobbies and find entertainment. We are a collective possibility for healing, for creating and feeling joy, for learning, for growing, for finding meaning and purpose, for offering forgiveness, for loving and being loved unconditionally. What will we commit to do in order to make our dreams possible? What gifts of loving kindness will we bring to point out what is wrong while we offer our service to heal, to build, to keep dreaming? We are a people of faith, of resiliency, of deeply rooted love of freedom, heretic rebels with many causes, seekers and dreamers, builders of a new way, grateful for the blessing of being together, sharing this journey on this blue boat that we call our spiritual home. Beloveds, may we always risk believing in the possible, especially during difficult times. May we continue to dream and step into the unknown with boldness and faith in our collective vision. For indeed, another world is possible. Amen. Ashe, and blessed be.